More health problems come from damaged oils than any other part of nutrition. It's worse than sugar. More health benefits come from making the oil change your body needs than any other part of nutrition.
Welcome to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, the podcast for high achievers who want to stay sharp, focused, and full of energy despite their diagnosis. With your host, National Board Certified Functional Medicine Health Coach, Julie Michelson, where Julie helps you take your power back from autoimmunity. And now here's your host, Julie Michelson.
Welcome back to the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast. I'm your host, Julie Michelson. And today I'm joined by Udo Erasmus, the founder of billion-dollar supplement line Udo's Choice, harnessing the healing power of nature through products made with health in mind. Udo first pioneered flaxseed oil and invented the machinery that brought healthy oils to the market. He is the author of Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, which sold over 250,000 copies. In today's conversation, Udo shares how he came to be the healthy oil pioneer, and we bust the myths surrounding healthy fats and seed oils. We discuss the body's incredible ability to heal and how to literally create a new you on the cellular level in 1 year's time. Udo, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, glad to be on.
I just was kind of blabbering all over you, telling you how excited I am to have this conversation, because there are parts of my wellness journey that your work has been really impactful in my healing. So I would love for you to share for the listeners that are out there that are not familiar with you and your story, how did you become such a force in the wellness world?
Well, my parents made love and...
and here you are.
Here we are.
Your podcast.
81 years later. Well, the long story is I was born in Europe during the Second World War. 1942. I was a refugee kid when I was 2.5. We were on dirt roads with no military presence, mothers with young children in horse-drawn hay wagons, with the communists chasing us from behind. And the allies that we'd like to think of as the good guys, they were using us refugees as target practice. And there were dead horses and dead people in the ditches. And my mother, it was winter, my mother decided to leave the road because it was safer to go through the snow-covered fields than it was to stay on the road. So she had six kids with her. She had to leave four of them behind. Imagine having to make that kind of a decision.
No.
No, please don't. And so I ended up in an orphanage for a while. And then my mother's sister eventually went back and found us and reunited us with the family. I just remember I was always very scared would
sure.
be a good, good would
yeah.
be a good, you know, never felt safe. Never knew what I could trust. And we kind of had everything stripped from us, our culture and the farm and the house and the neighborhood and the people and everything. And we basically got out of there with the clothes we wore, the body we were in, and the life we had in that body, right? But everything else got stripped.
Right.
And I look at it, it's like, okay, that's like a lot, you know? Imagine yourself in whatever your culture is and whatever your situation is, you get everything stripped.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty, I guess it would be pretty traumatic. But I look back at it now and say, you know, what a gift it was. What an incredible gift, because I literally had to start from scratch without belief systems, without, you know, comforts, without all the stuff that we get addicted to that keeps us from doing what we need to do.
And we need
to make some changes on this planet, and we're not making them because we're too comfortable. And we will now create the situation that will make us so uncomfortable that we have to change. You know, some people say it's when the pain of not changing is bigger than the pain of changing, we will change.
Always, right? Out of discomfort comes change.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, so for me, so I had to start everything from scratch. What can I trust? I was always trying to figure out how do things work. Because when you know how things work, you get a certain amount of predictability and that gets you a certain amount of security. So I got into science, how things work. Then I got into biosciences, how creatures work. Then I got into psychology, how thinking works. And then I got into medicine for a year, how health works. Of course, we only learned about disease. That was a big wake up for me.
Well, and I love share with listeners why only a year in medicine.
Oh, because two things. I talked to the dean. I wanted to know what health is. My idea was if I knew what health was and somebody came to me sick, they had departed from health in some direction, I could turn them around in the direction of health, give them a push, watch them get better.
Sure.
Right? It's like simplistic, but actually makes sense, right? But then I have to know what health is. So I went to medicine because it's called healthcare. Okay. Oh, I want to learn about health.
Yeah.
I obviously only learned about disease. I went to the dean and said, what is health? He said, we don't know. We're working on it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Healthcare? You don't know what health is? You call it healthcare? What? And then we were told in first year medicine that a doctor should always sound as though he's what's a doctor should always sound as though he knows what's going on, even when he doesn't.
Yeah.
And on the farm where I spent part of my childhood, they called it lying.
Right.
And that ended my future career in medicine because I said, I'm not going to lie to people because I don't know. If I could say, well, I don't know, and I'll see if I can find an answer. And if I don't have an answer, I say, I don't know. I don't have the answer. That would be okay with me.
Sure.
But anyway, I thought I had either had to buy into that or quit. So I quit. So I went back into biochemistry and genetics because you learn more about health in biology where you study normal creatures
living
normally in normal situations than you do in medicine where you're always looking at sick, 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 sick. And so anyway, so I left university. I was still looking for something. And by the way, this all came out of my driver for life came out of a conversation with myself when I was 6 years old. I was listening to adults argue about really trivial things that I thought they were trivial at 6 years old. And I said, man, there must be a way that people can live in harmony. And a little cocky voice, I'm going to find out how. You know, like, you know, you're 6 years old, you don't know how complicated everything is. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to find out how to live in harmony. So I did. That was my driver. That's why I went through all of those. When I didn't find my answer there, I left university. And then I piddled around with psychedelics for a bit. And then eventually I got into, I had a very powerful experience with the divine being, you might say, made of light. That told me that the message was, I am come not to judge, but to love. There's the essence of the master's message to humanity, but that's also life's message to the human body. And so that became my focus. I am come not to judge, but to love. And then to learn how to live there, I started doing a stillness practice. Self-knowledge, where you sit down, you get really quiet. How quiet can you be? And then how deep can you go into that quiet? And how long can you be there? And how slowly and lightly can you breathe? And what do you notice in that quiet? And that's where you find yourself. Actually, right?
Yes.
And so I started doing that. That was about 50 years ago. So I do that every day. That's my most important starter for the day. And out of that comes not only the peace that I'm looking for, not only the unconditional love that life has for my body, I feel cared for. And I get inspired. And that's where my insights come from. And that's where my understandings show up because it's already all the truth we ever want to find is already within us. But
say that one more time.
But we need to look into it instead of looking away from it. And most of the time, through our senses, we're looking away from it.
Sure.
You look at this, and something changes, and oh my God, and you figure it out, And then when we've done that, we don't go back into the core of our own being. We go into our mind, into our memories. So we live mostly in the outside world and our mind, and very little in our heart. And everything we're looking for, everything everybody's looking for, everything that we're so, you know, that we're trying to figure out how to get a good life is already within us. We are that good life that we're looking for. And why aren't we just like, take a breath. Shut up. Chill. Feel. Anyway, so that's the long story. The shorter story of how I got into health and oils and digestion and all of that happened after my marriage broke up, and I was really upset and I wanted to kill. So I took a job as a pesticide sprayer, because pesticides, you spray, you kill things, right? I mean, I was really crazy. I was crazy upset. And after 3 years of doing that, I got poisoned by the pesticide I sprayed. Predictably, right?
Right.
Went to the shocking. How could that ever have happened? Anyway, I went to the doctor. I said, "What do you have for pesticide poisoning?" She said, "Nothing." Yep. And so at that point, it was like, okay, my health really is my responsibility. I kind of knew it, but it's like now I really knew it. And so I used my background in biochemistry and genetics and biology to try and figure out what to do for myself. And I got into the literature, the research literature, because I know how to read that stuff. And I was looking at everything that had to do with nutrition and health, because the body's made out of food, water and air too, but I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking nutrition. And the idea was the body's always turning over. Like every year, 98% of the atoms in your body are removed and replaced. And it's done so elegantly that you don't even notice.
Right.
But 98% of you will be a different person if we talk a year from now. Sure. And me too. So we'd be two completely different people. We'll still have the same personality and the same crazy ideas.
Right.
But our body will have been rebuilt from under us. 98%. So the idea is that if you get sick, then you have to raise your standard of food intake. And within 1 year, you will have rebuilt 98% of your body to a higher standard. That's why healing is possible. That is what healing is. And it's always about raising the standard if you want a better body, right?
Sure.
If you want a worse body, you can do it the other way around, you know, just start eating garbage, you know, and in 1 year, you can have rebuilt your body 98% into a garbage body.
Well, and look at the health epidemic in the country. Well, yeah. The world, but especially in this country.
Yeah.
So
look at the garbage they eat.
Right.
Look at the garbage we have available to us to eat.
Right.
So we have to make deliberate choices in the direction of fresh, whole, raw, organic.
Yeah.
Because that's life standard for any creature in nature that eats fresh, whole, raw, organic. For humans, probably mostly plant-based. You get more allergies and autoimmune conditions from animal products than from human products. Probably for a couple of reasons. One is there's more toxins in the animal products, the way we grow them.
Right.
But the other one is that the proteins in them are more similar to our proteins. And if you get undigested protein absorbed, then the immune system attacks it. And if there's a protein in your body that's similar to the protein it attacked, then your immune system will begin to attack
self
that protein in your own body.
Yes.
And that's what autoimmune is.
Molecular mimicry. Absolutely.
And you can get that from you can get that either from poorly digested protein that is similar to one of your own proteins, or you can get it from molecules that are foreign to your body that shouldn't be there in the first place.
Right.
So it could be, I know one of the ones that gets autoimmune, has a lot of autoimmune problems, aluminum.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's a big deal. So you don't want aluminum in your food, at least in the forms in which it causes autoimmune conditions. I saw one study that said the aluminum, if you inject aluminum into a person, 2.4% of the people that get it injected get autoimmune symptoms from it.
Who would sign up for that study, first of all? That's terrible.
I'm not sure, and I can't tell you, and I never asked, and it never occurred to me to ask, but it's true.
Yeah, right? And we see the same with mercury and lead, like really common across the board with autoimmunity as well.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's like, okay, that's a problem. So then what do you do? Well, the one thing, you know, I got stuck in the area of oils because that was the place, that was the one topic that was most confusing. I was talking about, I was looking at essential nutrients. These are nutrients you can't make but have to have in your body, that life needs to make your body work properly.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get enough, you can't stay healthy. And if you don't get enough long enough, you die. This is how important they are. And if you are, your health is going down because you're not getting enough, but before you die, you bring enough back into the body, then all of the symptoms from not getting enough are reversed and you get your health back.
Yes.
Wow, how cool is that? Because life knows because life knows how to make a body if you make sure that all of the building blocks land in your body.
Right.
Then life does the job. Does a great job. Okay.
I love that.
Because here we are alive, right? And we're talking.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Amazing.
But I had a conversation even just yesterday with a brand new client who, you know, she's afraid of fats. Like she's still stuck in the 80s. They did such a good job in the 80s of vilifying fat.
Yeah. So
it was a big missing nutrient for me were healthy fats.
Yeah. So when I got into studying fats, speaking of fats, I read a study that said omega-6 is an essential nutrient. By the definition, if I just gave, you have to have it to live and be healthy. And you die if you don't get enough long enough.
Yeah.
And the very next study I read says omega-6 gives you cancer and kills you.
Right.
And you can see my head explode.
Right. And you're a scientist. Wait. Imagine.
Wait. This is completely contradictory. I have to have it and then it kills me.
Yeah. That's the truth.
So if I don't take it, I die. And if I take it, I die. Double bind.
We're not created that way. Not a thing.
And so I said, well, I must be missing something because they can't both be true.
Right.
And I'm assuming that the researchers aren't lying about the research they're doing. So they're both reporting. Then why the difference? And I realized I need to look deeper. And I realized that when I look deeper, I realized that when oils are made by industry in order to have a long shelf life, they weren't interested in health as interested in shelf life.
Sure.
And what you do is you treat the oil first with sodium hydroxide, corrosive base, then phosphoric acid, a very corrosive acid. Then you bleach them to take the color molecules out because light, oxygen, and heat damage oils. And the light is absorbed by the color molecules and then damages the oil. So they bleached the oil, but then it goes rancid. And now it smells bad. So they have to deodorize it. I used to call it de-stinkerize it, right? And in order to deodorize the oil, they have to heat it to frying temperature for about half an hour. So they're boiling off the damaged molecules in the process of basically when you boil an oil, you're frying it.
Right.
So you fried the oil for half an hour. Then it gets put in a plastic bottle. The plastic leaches into oil quicker than into water. And then they have pesticides in the oil because they don't use organically grown seeds. And I then called somebody at the American Oil Chemist Society and said, I want to talk to somebody who's a researcher. So they put him on the line, and I said, why do you do this when you know it does damage? And he said, well, one of the reasons is we can get rid of half of the pesticides in the oil. You know, at that time, I didn't even know there were pesticides in the oil. And I'd be poisoned by pesticides, so this is not good news for me.
Right.
So in my head, I'm going, wait, 50% of these pesticides stay in the oil? That's not good. So I said to him, why don't you start with organically grown seeds? Then you don't have to do that.
Money.
He didn't have an answer. There was a long silence on the phone, and then he was mad. He was angry.
Oh, I'm sure.
What the hell is your problem? The oil is 99% good. It's only 1% damaged. And if you got 99% on an exam, you'd be damn happy, wouldn't you? So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm overreacting. It's only 1%. So I did the math. And the question I asked is, if you have a tablespoon of oil that is 1% damaged, how many damaged molecules will you find in that tablespoon? Have you heard me do this before?
I do. So I know the answer only because I've heard you say it.
Okay. So when I ask people
by the look on my face, right? I didn't have a blank look.
Yeah. So and because we don't have a basis for making that estimate.
Sure.
Because we don't know how big molecules are.
Right.
So I ask people to guess. They always guess at least a billion times too low. So what that says is that you're doing something to yourself when you use the oils that is a billion times worse than you think it is. A billion times worse.
If you've even given it thought before.
Yeah. If you what?
If you've even thought about it before.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Right. And so I'm trying to get you to think about it, basically, right?
That's why we're having
the conversation. So you're doing something to yourself, that is a billion times worse than you think it is. And that's... You know, it's like if I was to get on an airplane to fly somewhere, and somebody who tells the truth tells me, by the way, did you know, did you know that your chance of crashing and dying was a billion times worse than you think it is?
You'd probably get off.
I think I would find an excuse not to get on an airplane. Oh, sorry, I gotta go pee.
See ya.
Go without me, please. Go without me. Please don't let me hold you. By the-
Yeah, you guys go. So, have a good trip.
Yeah. Have a good trip. And you know, because that's what we're doing.
Right.
And we don't eat a tablespoon every day. We eat 2 to 4.
Right.
And we get it in our foods. And we've put it in the frying pan and damage at least 3 to 6 times more than we have. And then we got the pesticides. And then we got the plastic in it.
But we need the omegas.
Yeah, we need the omegas, but we need them unfried, made with health in mind.
Right.
Right? That's the point, right? And so when I realized that, I said, oh my God, I can't get healthy on oils like this. We should make them with health in mind. And I was just desperate and crazy enough to say, I'm going to do that. So I developed a method for making oils with health in mind, where they're protected from light, from oxygen, from heat, while they're being made, while they're being pressed, while they're being filtered, while they're being settled, while they're being filled. We put them in glass, dark glass,
yep,
to cut out most of the light. We put a box around it to cut all the light out. They're refrigerated in the factory. They're refrigerated in the stores. You refrigerate them at home. You never, ever, ever use them for frying, but you add them to foods after they come off any heat source that you use. And then we balance the omega-3s and 6s. You know, I started with flaxseed oil. That was my first oil. I became omega-6 deficient on flaxseed oil because it has a lot of omega-3, but not enough omega-6. And I got dry eyes, skipped heartbeats, arthritis like pain in my finger joints, and thin papery skin. Those are classic omega-6 deficiency symptoms. Fix those by eating sunflower seeds, because sunflower seeds have a lot of oil, and they have like 60% of the oil is omega-6, but no omega-3s. So brought the balance back. And then I said, okay, we need to make a blend where people cannot become deficient in one or the other essential fatty acid, omega-3 and omega-6, right? Because they're both essential and they use the same enzyme systems in the body to be turned into a whole lot of other really important molecules that have regulating hormone-like functions in every cell in the body lifelong. So they're really, really important, these good oils.
Yes.
And so you need to get the balance between the two of them right. So we fix the balance. In flax, it's 4 to 1. That's too high, more omega-3. We went down to 2 to 1. More omega-3. And there are diets like that that are sustainable on the planet. So that's why we went to that, with the highest omega-3 without becoming omega-6 deficient. And so then we've been working with that blend since 1994. I started in 1980. I got poisoned. And then I got into digestion. Because that's the next sure. biggest problem.
Because we're enzymes, all humans.
Yeah, enzymes, probiotics. And that one of the good points of that for autoimmune is if you make sure your proteins are completely digested,
yes.
you have no proteins to absorb that can right. then mimic your own proteins and give you autoimmune problems. By the way, the oils, the omega-3s particularly, they dampen the over-response of the immune system in autoimmune conditions.
Well, that's say that again.
Omega-3s dampen, if they're made with health in mind, they dampen the over-response of the immune system in autoimmune conditions. Now, that's the way the research said it. This is really not an over-response. Your immune system right. is just doing what it needs to do. So you have to look at what is it that it's doing? Why does it have to do what it's doing? It's not an right. over-response. It's a response to something going on. And then you have to understand what is going on, and then you have to get rid of what's going on that makes it have to react like that.
What do you mean, the actual cause?
Well, yeah.
It's not just symptom management.
Like that.
Drivers.
Exactly.
I love it. So, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I want to circle back, mm-hmm. dig a little bit more in the omega-3s, omega-6s, because I don't even like to call it food, the SAD diet, the standard American yep. diet, mm-hmm. Is so high in omega-6s, and there's so many, it's never just one thing. And then we're back to the toxins and food not being food and mm-hmm. all the things that I always think of the omega-3s, and maybe it is that dampening response that I think of them as being inflammatory, but if sixes are too high, or sorry, threes being anti-inflammatory, and when sixes are too high, it's inflammatory.
Yeah.
But so most people, I think, are really focused on adding in the omega-3s because so many people are deficient if they're not already yeah. managing all these parts of wellness.
Yeah.
But you've given us, it's kind of like, I say to people a lot, we were talking about gut and breaking down proteins, and pretty much anybody that walks through the door, unless they've already done healing, I know, you know, they have leaky gut, you mm-hmm. know, good chicken, egg, it doesn't matter, is part of the autoimmune syndrome.
Yeah.
And so I pick on gluten a lot. Mm-hmm. But I always add, it's not wheat or the gluten, because you can't separate it from what the glyphosate is doing. There, yeah. you know, it's so,
yeah.
The sixes, we need them. They're not bad. Yeah. It's the processing yeah. that's making the inflammatory
yeah.
part.
Yeah. Yeah. So the gluten thing, yeah. There are people who can't eat wheat in North America, and then they go to Europe
yeah.
where they don't use it. In places where they don't use it, and they don't have a problem with wheat at all.
Sure. I know people with celiac that'll eat
yeah.
pasta in Italy. I'm yeah. afraid to try.
But I
understand it's a totally different, you know, we've adulterated it so much in this country.
And I used to spray glyphosate when I was spraying pesticides.
Right.
Because they told us that glyphosate is inactivated the moment it hits the soil.
Yeah.
And they completely lied about it. It was a lie from the beginning. I think they started in 1974. I got poisoned in 1980. You know, so glyphosate was, what a cool thing to do. Here we have a pesticide. It kills everything we want to kill.
And everything then but us.
And then it inactivates itself.
Right.
That's the story we want to hear. So they told us that story, but they lied the whole time.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got taken to task for that. Although, you know, they're now... they're now suing glyphosate for the health problems it causes.
Right.
But nobody sued them for lying.
True. And just for those that don't know, the way wheat is harvested in this country, it's sprayed with glyphosate right before cutting to dry it out.
Yeah,
so
to
it's
dry
like an
it,
extra-
to dry it out. Yeah, it's to dry it out to desiccate it
yeah.
so that you can do a harvest and you don't have unripe grain. That you know, because it makes it easier for the farmer
Right.
And it makes a mess for human beings. And they do that to all the grains, and they do it to soybeans, and they do it to corn.
Yep.
You know, and then it's like, okay, well, I think I'm going on a keto diet.
Right. But right? You better be getting good oils.
So now we're being forced into the oil corner, even if we think if you eat fat, you're going to get fat, which is not true.
But
talking about the omega-3 and omega-6,
yeah.
99% of the population doesn't get enough omega-3 for optimum health.
Right.
That's what the stats say.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty much everybody except who's on a no-fat or really low-fat diet gets enough omega-6, but they're damaged. Okay. And the omega-6 inflammation that a lot of people now are saying, don't use seed oils, don't use omega-6s.
Right.
Because they're bad for you.
Right.
And those people are telling half the truth, but they haven't done all of their homework. We did that homework 40 years ago. Said, why is it that something that I have to have gives me problems? And so we found out what they're blaming on the seed oils and the omega-6s, they should be blaming on the damage done to them and the damaged molecules that result from the way they're being used.
Now, that being said, are there good seed oils versus bad? Taking processing out, are there still certain oils we should be just avoiding in general?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it completely different. So the issue that we need to fix two things. We need to bring in the omega-3s that are missing in most people's diet.
Yep.
And they need to be made with health in mind. They can't be damaged by light, oxygen, heat. So a really tight system has to be developed to make them. That's what we developed way back in 1980, 81, 82.
Right.
And that's what flax oil came out of in 1986. That's when we started with flax oil. And then the second thing is the omega-6s are damaged. So we should trade out the omega-6s that are damaged for omega-6s also made with health in mind.
Right.
That would be any omega-6 if you put it through a system. First of all, if it was organic. And you put it through the system where it's protected from light, oxygen, heat. Now, omega-3 is 5 times more sensitive to damage than omega-6. So it's really the canary in the gold mine, so to speak.
So like me.
Yeah. But you got to do both. You got to switch out the omega-6s for omega-6s made with health in mind, and you got to bring in the missing omega-3s. And then you got to get them in the right ratio so the one doesn't crowd out the other. And then you never use those oils for frying, because if you fry them, you damage them. That's what you're taking all this care for not to do.
Right.
But you add them to food after they come off the heat source. You can put them in hot pasta sauce and on steamed veggies, but not for frying. And I tell people frying is the dumbest thing we ever invented to do to our health. I tell them to take a frying pan and whack themselves on the head with it. So it's associated with pain, and throw that stupid thing out and go back in the direction of fresh, whole, raw, organic. And if you're going to cook, use water for cooking. Add oils after. They enhance flavors and they improve the absorption of oil-soluble nutrients. Do not use oils for frying if health is what you want.
I love that.
And so
finishing oil. You know, I grew up in the restaurant business, and we always used finishing oils. I'm not saying they didn't use other oils too.
All
of it, you want the quality, but then you just want to add it to your food after it's cooked.
Right, because it enhances flavors and improves the absorption of oil-soluble nutrients. So it's good for health. If it's made with health in mind, it is actually good for health. And if you get the balance right. So, and that's kind of like the story of oils. They need to be made with health in mind. You need to get omega-3 and 6. By the way, in the past 100 years, we've doubled our omega-6 intake, because pretty much every seed and nut has omega-6 in it.
Right.
And we lowered our omega-3 intake to 1/6 of what people got in 1850. So we have, in our changes in moving to cities and off farms and changing our food sources, nobody wants to work in industry. Nobody wants to work with omega-3s because they're so sensitive. So they're a nightmare to work with. So we've moved away from omega-3s mainly because of that. And so we've really screwed up the ratio. It's like 10 to 1 more omega-6, maybe even 50 to 1 more omega-6.
Yeah.
So we need to bring that back. We got to bring in the omega-3s, and they have anti-inflammatory benefits, major ones. The inflammation that comes from omega-6s is twofold. One is acute, which is it helps in healing. The immune system creates inflammation as part of the healing process.
Right.
And then when the healing is done, then the immune system settles down and the
ideally
inflammation goes away.
Right.
But there's also chronic inflammation that comes from the damaged omega-6 molecules that we're getting in our oils that are not made with health in mind. And that chronic inflammation is actually the problem on omega-6s. The acute inflammation is an important process.
Right.
And omega-6 kind of runs shotgun on the omega-6s and keeps, you know, and that's part of, like, when you have injury, the omega-6s will override the omega-3s. And when the healing is done, the omega-3s will override the omega-6s again. So there's it's a dynamic duo, right? And they work together, and they work in some ways antagonistically.
Sure. And if you look at any system in the body, there's always an opposing force or a balance. You know, and look at our hormone system. The balance is really, really important. But one of my favorite things about this conversation is because we went from, you know, fat in general being vilified, totally not true, for health and wellness. And in my own healing journey, you know, after over a decade of rheumatoid arthritis, I was when I got to the point where I was avoiding some of the triggers, wasn't until I was still deficient in good oils and probably including the sixes as well. Cause I was the one, you know, I was so fat phobic.
Yeah.
And it was like a light switch. Like my body, it was like, whoa, thank you. Now I can heal.
Yeah.
And you know
how crazy it is to avoid fats, because around every cell, you have 60 trillion cells in your body. The envelope around each cell is made out of fats.
Right.
And those fats and the important fats you can't make in your body. So you have to bring them in from outside. So you don't bring them in, you're going to go down.
Yeah.
Right? Fat phobic is, if you go on
a
no-fat diet.
It sure took its toll on me.
If you go on a no-fat diet long enough, you die.
Right. Well, I was working on it. I was trying. Not intentionally.
That's good, because you don't have any pain when you're dead. So from that perspective, it's doable.
But I have three beautiful children, and I really didn't. Yeah, I'm turning 55 next month.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would live to see 50, because that's what was happening. Add in also, I had, you know, amazing toxic load. I mean, it's amazing I'm here, really.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it's amazing where all of us are here, because we've been shitting in our nest for so long.
Right.
That we're nesting in our shit.
I love that expression. That's true. It's time to clean up the nest.
But in order to do that, we have to feel like life is worth living. And that is the other topic that is my favorite topic. And for that, you have to bring your awareness inside into the quiet.
Yeah. I want to have you back and let's devote another episode to that because it is, we are complex beings. And so it's not just, people contact me all the time. Tell me what to eat to heal. And I'm like, whoa. Like, that's a piece. That's just.
Yeah. That's one eighth. You know, what you eating is one eighth. Eating, drinking, and breathing is one eighth of what you need to look at if you want to be healthy. So
amazing. So we're going to talk about that too. I know you have a gift for listeners. You have your new book, that you're giving access to the draft, right? Is it in progress
it's in progress. Yeah. It's
nice.
A work. Everything in my life is a work in progress.
As it should be.
including me. Yeah.
Your body needs an oil change, which I love the title.
Yeah. Your body needs an oil change, just like the car. Dirty oil out, clean oil in. More health problems come from damaged oils than any other part of nutrition. It's worse than sugar. more health benefits come from making the oil change your body needs than any other part of nutrition. It's that important what's going on with oils, because they're the most sensitive. They're super important in every cell. The body makes tons of different molecules out of them. So you have to have the right molecules to start with to be able to get all those things done. You cannot live without oils. You can live without sugar, but you can't live without oils.
Well, and I love, because we're never doom and gloom, right? And then, and we have cell turnover. That's the beautiful thing.
Cell turnover.
Actually give ourselves an oil change.
Yep.
So I'm excited to read that. That's going to be, so go to udoerasmus.com/inspiredliving and you can get access to the draft and peek at the work in progress, which I love.
Yep.
Udo, what is, and you can pick from anything.
Yep.
One step that listeners can take starting today to improve their health.
Honestly, from what we've talked about, go and find a bottle of Udo's oil and lose it in your favorite foods.
Love it. I love it. Oh, I do want a caveat for listeners. Mm-hmm. Yes, go do it. And listen to Udo and put it on your food. Don't drink it off the spoon and then say, I don't like the way it tastes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. Oil will never taste like ice cream, guys. Guys and gals. Oils will never taste like ice cream. And some people take it off a spoon, and it's better mixed in food because it enhances flavors and it improves the absorption of oil-soluble nutrients in your food.
Right, which is essential.
Always,
we're missing that. So
yeah, so always mix it in food.
Love it.
Spread your intake out over the course of the day. And anywhere between 2 to 4 tablespoons for most adults would be optimum.
I love that. Yeah. Love it. Amazing. Udo, where is the best place for people to find you for those that are on the go and they're not going to check the show notes?
Well, udoerasmus.com is my website. But if you want to just go for the oil, because I have so well convinced you, then you could go to florahealth.com/Udo. And the oil is on that page, and so are the other products I work with, enzymes, probiotics, greens.
Love it.
Udo's choice. Yeah.
And so I do want to have you back.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk more about the other important aspects of typical wellness.
Oil is the most important neglected topic in nutrition, and we are the most neglected topic in our own lives. So that's what we'll talk about next
time. There's the teaser. I love it. Udo, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
For everyone listening, remember you can get those show notes and transcripts by visiting inspireliving.show. Hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'll see you next week.